And things Joe can do with a one admiration from some of the greatest composers and concert violinists in the world. I've known Joe personally for a long time. And believe me, tonight it's a real pleasure to welcome him to the Kraft Music Hall. Here he is, Joe Venuti and his fiddle. Joe, what was the title of that number?
Why, Bing, the title of that composition was called The Return of Macabre.
Return of Macabre?
Yes.
The very opening there sounded a little like Pardon Me, Pretty Baby.
Well, I don't know, Bing. Towards the opening, yes, but a little later on, that's where Macabre come in.
It was very good, ain't it? Now, Joe, Joe's got to run down and do 6-8 shows at the Orpheum. Joe, you've really upheld the honor of the fraternity.
Bing Crosby presents Rupert Hughes.
Perhaps many of you have seen the name of Rupert Hughes on the cover of popular magazines. Perhaps you've read some of his stories. Maybe you know his famous biography of George Washington. Rupert Hughes is not only a fascinating storyteller. He is a man who has successfully tried his hand in many other fields. He has directed and produced motion pictures. He has written encyclopedias and he has composed music. He fought in the Spanish-American War and on the Mexican border. Was chief military censor of the United States during the World War. Tonight, this extraordinary man has taken time to come here to the Kraft Music Hall, and I consider it an honor and a privilege to present him. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Rupert Hughes.
One moment, Mr. Crosby, please. Before we begin, could I... personal matter? It comes out everywhere. Your voice goes around the earth 7 times in a second. It flies to the moon. It breaks through the tail of the comet. People on Mars may be listening now and wondering when I'm going to stop and let you sing. But I can't stop till I remind you how astounding it is, how baffling, bewildering, to think that now, instead of being a sort of chanting hobo in velvet tramping the dusty roads, you stand here, while out there they sit, millions of people in one infinite living room, on ships, in the deserts, on the mountains, listening to you singing. Your voice is everywhere at once. You're omnipresent. A miraculous life you lead. Why, I have a little dog, a little Pekingese named Jinka, who knows your voice. He's listening for you now. He sings whenever he hears you bark. He barks.
Wait a minute.
Oh, you're a wonderful man, Mr. Crosby. You seem hardly to be a human being. They say you make pretty good money, but I say you're grossly underpaid. Think of it. If, like the old-time troubadour, you could pass the hat tonight, and if everybody who heard you tossed in just a penny, you'd take in $100,000 or more for this one night. Do they pay you that much?
No, they're shorting me a little, I'm afraid, but I'm going to speak to them about it.
Well, whatever you get, you earn it. There's only one sad thing, Mr. Crosby, about it that I regret.
What's that?
With all your prosperity, fame, all your genius, you had to go and buy a racehorse named Dolly.
Zombie.
You don't happen to have that $2 handy.
Mr. Hughes, you promised.
All right, Mr. Crosby, but I hope the next time your old zombie races, he wins. I won't have a cent on him, and then I'll be even with you.
So, then everything will be zofty. Now a word from my friend, Don Wilson.
When cheddar cheese is well-aged and has a fine, sharp flavor, it is too often firm or too crumbly to spread. So it didn't just happen that today you get a sharp cheddar that spreads. Kraft experts worked out the solution of that problem. They found a way to add rich cream to fine-aged English-type cheddar. Just enough cream to make it smooth and spreadable, and at the same time hold the rare, sharp cheddar flavor. They called their cheese Creamed Old English. You ought to sample this cheese, see what a real triumph their discovery was. Try Creamed Old English in sandwiches, either plain or toasted. See what a grand richness it adds to cooked dishes. And some night, top off dinner with Creamed Old English, crackers, and coffee. You'll find Creamed Old English in half-pound packages displayed at your grocer's, along with many other famous varieties of Kraft cheese. Get a package tomorrow morning. Remember, the name of the zesty cheddar that spreads is Creamed Old English.
Now I'd like to sing a song that first appeared in 1910. Remember good old 1910? That was the year Halley's Comet astonished the country. But perhaps not as much as Alice Roosevelt Longworth, who in that year actually appeared in public smoking a cigarette. Woodrow Wilson had just left the campus at Princeton to be governor of New Jersey. Marie Dressler was appearing on Broadway in a big success called Tilly's Punctured Romance. And a show called Honky Tonk had a song in it, which became a sensational overnight hit. It was not until several years later that the song was adopted as a theme song by Sophie Tucker, the last of the Red Hot Mamas. Sophie Tucker's still killing the people. So is her song. You remember? Some of these days, you're gonna miss me, honey. Some of these days, you're gonna be so lonely. You'll miss my hugging. You're gonna miss my kissing. You'll be so sorry when I'm away. Now you're gonna be lonely, just for me only. And you know, honey, that you've had your way. And when you leave me, you know it's gonna grieve me. You're gonna miss your daddy some of these days. Some of these days, you're gonna miss me, honey. Some of these days, you're gonna be so lonely. You'll miss my hugging. You're gonna miss my kissing. You're gonna be so sorry when I'm away. Now you're gonna be lonely, just for me only. 'Cause you know, honey, that you had your way. And when you leave me, you know it's gonna grieve me. You'll miss your little daddy. Tweet, 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 tweet. A Now Bob Burns, first citizen of Van Buren, Arkansas.
Step over here, Bob, and give us some of that Arkansas acamaracus. You know, last week you told us all about your homecoming, but you never mentioned your New Year's resolution. You going to stand here and tell me you didn't make any?
Yeah, Bing, I did make some resolutions this year. I've made up my mind that I ain't going to do one mean thing all year. I'm going to be courteous. If any of these moving picture directors or the casting directors come to me, I'm going to be nice to them, Bing. And it's gonna. I'll tell you, when they'll know the minute I talk that I mean what I say. That's one thing about the Burns family. I had a girl cousin come up from Van Buren, Arkansas, to visit me in New York, and a young fella made a date with her to take her out automobile riding through Central Park. And I never saw her again till 4 months later when I come through Van Buren. I asked her, what happened to you the night the young fella took you out in the automobile? And she says, I jumped out of the car and walked home. And I says, you mean to tell me that you walked all the way from New York City to Van Buren, Arkansas? And she said, when I say no, I mean no. But now, you know, it's going to be kind of hard for me not to be mean because it just comes natural. I haven't got one member of my family that hadn't got a mean streak in him somewhere. I told you about my two uncles that love to pull up young corn. Now, you can laugh if you want to, but I want to tell you that on the face of it, that don't sound so bad. But when you just consider, here's this poor, innocent, tender young corn that just sticks its little head up above the ground, ain't never done any harm to anybody, and just to go out and pull it up, I'll tell you, there ain't nothing nice about it at all. And I about the only good relative I ever had in my life, I suppose, is one of my uncles, and he never touched a drop of liquor, and he was 117 years old. And he went on the lecture platform lecturing for temperance. He thought it would be a good example to show the people that he had never touched a drop of liquor, and he'd lived to be 117 years old. But right in the middle of his very first lecture, his old man come in drunk and busted up the meeting. You know, I had another uncle that was so mean that he didn't have any daughters. He had 9 sons. And he used to get mad when a cold winter night came along and it was snowing outside. He'd get so mad because he didn't have a daughter to put out in that weather. But I had one mean old uncle that used to come up to me when I was a tender, trusting child. And he'd hold both hands out in front of him with his hands closed up, and he'd say, guess which one? And I'd point to one of his fists, and he'd open it, and there wouldn't be nothing in it. And he'd come to me next day, and the next. He kept that up all the time I was growing up, and I want to tell you that I never did guess the right one, and I got to be bitter towards the world. I thought the world was against me, and finally, on his deathbed, he admitted there never had been nothing in either hand. But it kind of changed my outlook on life. It put a blot on it. And later on, when I proposed to my girl, I asked her for a hand, and she asked me which one, and I says, it don't make no difference. I probably won't get much anyhow. But I made up my mind right there that I was going to make up for that by being nice to my wife. And I've done the very best I could. But that's one thing about my folks. Now, of course, I was talking about drinking just now. I want you to know that I don't drink liquor. I think the worst thing in the world is liquor. It makes you quarrel with your wife, and it makes you shoot at your mother-in-law, and it makes you miss her. But I've tried so hard to be nice to my wife. That's one thing about my folks. They know how to treat women down there. We don't treat them like they do back here. Some places in the East. I heard of one case where a wife had her husband arrested for beating her, and she told the judge that he beat her up every morning and every time he came home, and she says he don't even give him a face time to heal up. And her husband jumped up and he says, don't pay no attention to her, Judge. She's punch drunk.
But, you know, we don't do that. We, down home, down in Arkansas, we protect our women. I remember one time a neighbor man had an argument with my wife, and he beat her up pretty bad and bruised her up so bad that she had to go to bed. And that night, my uncle went over to call on this neighbor. He didn't rave and rant around. He called him out, and he was perfectly cool. When the neighbor come out, my uncle says, you beat my wife up, Ed. And the neighbor says, yes, I did, Henry. And my uncle says, you knocked her down, Ed. Ed says, twice, Henry. And my uncle says, it wasn't very nice of you, Ed. I had to get my own supper. But, you know, a man is just bound to have arguments with his wife. You just can't help it. But I'm going to be lenient with my wife. I declare I do get discouraged at times, though. I haven't had a decent night's sleep since Christmas. My wife wanted a bicycle, and I wouldn't get it for her. I wish now I had, because she dreams of riding a bicycle all night long. Honestly, the only sleep I get at all is when she's coasting downhill. But I'm going to go on, and I'm going to be just as nice to her as I know how. I'm going to start out right now by dedicating my bazooka solo to my wife. I'm going to play Ida. My wife's name ain't Ida, but things might have been different if I'd have known what I know now.
All right, boys.
I hear that noise, I think my ears are going back on me or something. Tell me, Bob, how do you make that doggone contraption sound like a Bronx raspberry?
Oh, you mean like this?
Yeah, what is it?
Well, Bing, I'll tell you, you'll learn how to make one of those raspberries when you've heard as many of them as I have. But it's kind of hard to do, Bing. Yeah. It takes a lot of work.
Well, Bob, I'm going to start practicing tomorrow. Now we have three little girls here, the Clark sisters. Jean is 12 years old, and Ann, let me see, you're 10, and Peggy is only 8. These little girls sing together. They've been a big success in Chicago, Grand Forks, Nebraska, Toronto, and London. I'm very happy to have them here tonight in the Kraft Music Hall. Ladies and gentlemen, the Clark Sisters.
Ballada, rock and roll, ballada, yeah. Rock and roll, roll and rock away. Floating round, round and round the place. Rolling, rocking rhythm of the sea that rolls and rocks along.
the bar you go.
Rock and roll like a rocking chair. Laugh and smile while we jolly step in the tide as we glide. To the rolling, rocking rhythm of the sea. Bam, a bam, bam, a bam, a bam. Bam, a bam, 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 a bam.
Whoa.
Rock and roll like a rocking chair. Laugh and smile while we jolly step in the tide as we glide.
Oh, that was really swell, kids. Now, of course, naturally, the littlest sister is the one that does the talking in this family. So, come here a minute, Peggy. You're the 8-year-old, aren't you?
Yes.
Well, tell us about your trip to London.
Oh, we didn't go to London on any special occasion. We just went there to visit our cousin, the Park Sisters.
Oh, the Park Sisters. What do they do?
Oh, they're in theatrical business,
too. They sing,
too?
Yes. Sing as good as you?
I don't know.
I don't know. Well, did you meet the Prince of Wales over there?
Yes.
Was he nice?
Oh, he's a jolly old chap.
Oh, is he really?
Yes.
Did you get lost in the fog?
Yes. One night on the way home, we got lost in the fog. All the other kids were scared.
You didn't get scared?
No.
Not much.
No, I wasn't scared.
You won't? Well, that's fine, Peggy. Now, I want you to sing the song you did for me this morning. You know, When I Grow Up?
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I take pleasure in presenting my new presentation, When I Grow Up. My sister's singing it, too.
Oh.
When I grow up, in a year or two or three, I'll be happy as can be, like a birdie in a tree. When I grow up, there's a lot I want to do. I can have real dollies too, like the woman in the shoe. I want to be a teacher so the children can say, teacher dear, the gang's all here with apples today. When I grow up, I will have a big surprise, for I'll bake the kind of pie that'll make you roll your eyes. And if you see that you need some company, you can call me up and I'll come down when I grow up.
Thank you, Peggy and sisters. And here's good old Don Wilson.
Attention, all you good cooks. Here's a recipe that will make any hostess's reputation. A recipe so easy you can carry it in your head. The recipe for cheese and crab delight. Unwrap a package of creamed Old English cheese and melt it in the top of your double boiler. Next, add 1/3 cup of evaporated milk, seasonings, and stir until you have a smooth golden sauce. Into that sauce, toss a cupful of flaked crab meat and serve on toast. The result is perfection. Here's something to serve at little supper parties and bridge luncheons. But we had still another reason for giving you this recipe. That rich golden sauce you use in cheese and crab delight is also delicious on vegetables. Cauliflower, onions, spinach, broccoli. Fine on poached eggs, too. It's marvelous sauce for dressing up all sorts of common everyday foods. But don't expect just any cheese to make a sauce so smooth and so delicious. The secret of success is creamed Old English. Get a package of this famous Kraft cheese tomorrow from your regular food dealer. Let the family have it spread on crackers and in sandwiches. And try it melted in cooked dishes. You'll be mighty glad you discovered the creamed Old English.
Thank you.
splendid, Mr. Levitsky. Thank you, not only for myself, but for our audience. Tell me, did you ever play dance music, you know, jazz?
No, I don't really. I tried to play jazz once or twice at parties, but it was really terrible. I'd love to be able to play it. I like it very much, but somehow, whenever I play jazz, it sounds too much like Chopin.
Well, you know Chopin isn't very bad.
No, he's pretty good, too. But when Mr. Darcy here plays for a dance, it doesn't sound a bit like Chopin.
Oh, I don't think so either. Far from it, Mr. Levitsky. In your honor, Jimmy Darcy is now going to play a little dance creation of his own, which he calls the Darcy Dervish. If it sounds like Chopin, I'm captain of a rowboat. Young fellows who give imitations. Mostly they imitate people you've heard on the radio. And honestly, just to be in the room with these three boys, you'd think they were attending one of those all-star benefits. I had the pleasure of working with them in a picture called Going Hollywood a couple of years back, and I'm really very happy to welcome them to the Kraft Music Hall tonight. The names are Jimmy Hollywood, Eddie Bartell, and Henry Taylor. Jimmy Hollywood's that boy's right name. Representing them tonight, the Radio Row. Step up here, boys. Now, Jimmy Hollywood, which imitations do you give on this here team?
Why do Amos and Andy, Ned Sparks, George Arliss, or almost anybody on the side?
Must keep you pretty busy. What about the other boys? Eddie Bartell, what's your specialty?
Well, my specialty is women.
Oh, bragging, huh?
No, I mean I do Kate Smith, Gracie Allen, Portland Hopper.
Oh, I see. And now for the third Rover boy. Unlovin' Tom, or Henry Taylor, what do you do?
Well, I do Fred Allen and Ben Burney, and I used to do Bing Crosby.
What do you mean, you used to do? Don't you do him now?
Well, we don't get so many calls for it now.
Yeah. Well, it's bad all over the country.
Yeah.
Well, do Fred Allen.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our amateur hour. You who, boy, by your generous responses, are the makers of all the following stars. And now for our first little amateur. Step right up, little lady. Tell me, were you ever on the air before?
Mm-hmm.
And for how long a time?
11 years.
What did you say your name was?
Kate Smith.
Play, Jimmy.
When the moon comes over the mountain, hello, everybody. This is Pee Wee Kate. Don't forget, folks. On my next program, I'm going to sing a song dedicated to all you taxpayers. Why not take all of me? Well, thanks for listening, and I'll be with you. When the moon comes over the mountain, I'm alone with my memories of you.
Good old Katie. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here is a young man who says he is a brother of Bing Crosby, and his name is Railroad Crosby.
While the blue of the night, it's the gold of the day.
Take over the show next week.
How about? Fight for me.
Make with the whistle. Ready?
Wait a minute. Schnozzola needs no announcement. But am I burning up? Am I mortified?
What seems to be the trouble, Schnoz?
Why, I'm walking down the street, and a guy comes up to me and he says, "Hey, is that your nose, or are you eating a banana?" Oh, he was just being subtle, that's all, when he knows darn well that my folks were the first settlers in this state. They were the first to settle for 10%. I got a million of them.
And that settles that. Now, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, Kingfree, so long, Brother Clever. So long, Ladlam.
Well, brothers, I'm on my way down to a meeting of the Mystic Knights of the Sea.
Well, Brother Kingfish, I think I will go too. If I do not, my wife will be very unhappy.
So long, Mother Amos. So long.
Amos, I'll look out.
What's the trouble, Andy?
Amos, I'll tire.
Andy, you is the laziest man in the world. Do you know it?
Amos, I'll the busiest man.
What does your gun do, Andy?
Amos, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I don't do nothing for nobody. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I rest. But Amos, Sunday, that is my busy day.
Well, what does you do on Sunday, Amos?
On Sunday, Amos, I was busy all day, getting ready to do nothing. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
And, of course, ladies and gentlemen, that was Amos and Andy.
Just a minute, Ellen.
Well, shut my mouth wide open if it isn't Smiling Ned Sparks.
I'm here to introduce a man whose name is a household word. A man that everybody knows. He's stupendous, magnificent, colossal. May I introduce a friend of mine? What's his name, Ellen? Oh, the old mousetrap and all the lads.
Dear, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Greetings to all you guys and all you gals who help me from the old mousetrap and all the lads out there. And with a word to Waldo Winchell, who is getting so old he gets winded playing checkers. And now, ladies and gentlemen, to the radio audience, Kraft Phoenix Cheese, Bing Crosby, my partner Eddie will express our appreciation by giving you his impression of Dick Powell singing...
Thanks a million thanks to you for everything that love could bring. Oh, you brought me. You made a million dreams come true. Hence, oh, I'm saying thanks a million to you.
Boys, thanks a million to you. Don Wilson, will you step in the office, please?
Connoisseurs of wine call for dry wine with some foods and a sweet one with others. People who get the most enjoyment out of cheese want different flavors for different occasions, too. When they want a mellow cheese, one that makes the tongue tingle with its sharp flavor, they call for creamed Old English made by Kraft. A grand cheese for appetizers, one that goes great with cold beverages. A cheese that's perfect with crackers and coffee to finish off a dinner. Creamed Old English is made from the finest English-type cheddar cheese. To this cheddar, Kraft experts have added just enough rich cream so it will spread smoothly for sandwiches or crackers. It toasts, too, and it's fine in cooked dishes, gives them a full, rich cheese flavor. Get a package of Creamed Old English tomorrow. Creamed Old English, made by Kraft. All Kraft products sold in Canada are made in Canada.
A great many people have written to Bob Burns and myself asking that Bob repeat some of his famous stories. One of the favorites seems to be the one about Bob's uncle. You know, the man of few words. So I've asked Bob if he'd tell us about his taciturn uncle again. He said he would, so here he is. Bob, go ahead.
All right, Bing, but before I go into that, I want to tell you, I was just sitting over there thinking, what a funny thing it is. Now, here I'm on the same bill playing music on the same show with Mr. Levitsky. And, you know, on my bazooka, I never took a music lesson in all my life, and I never do practice. But Mr. Levitsky has taken lessons all his life, and he practices about 5 or 10 hours a day. It's funny. I suppose it just takes some people longer to learn than it does others. But, you know, about that story, the one that... I was... it just goes to show that my folks don't always talk as much as I do. Especially this uncle. I was coming home one time, and there I saw my uncle standing out in the woods about 2 miles from the house. And just standing there, I says, what are you doing, hunting? And he says, no. And I says, well, what are you doing? He says, nothing. And I says, come on, go home with me. And I says, he said, no. And I says, it's going to be dark pretty soon. It's getting cold, and you better come on. He said, no. So I went on towards the house and went about a half a mile, and I just turned around and I went back. I says, supper will be ready pretty soon. Ain't you hungry? And he said, yes. And I says, well, why don't you come on and go in with me? And he said, I can't. And I says, well, why can't you? And he says, I'm standing in a bear trap. That's the one.
Well, I've heard it 5 times myself, and I still love it. I'd like to meet that uncle of yours, Bob. I think we got a lot in common. James, if you will.
Been rehearsing all the day, and I looked with all my might for something new to say to you. Pretty speeches from a play I could not recite, so I'll tell you in the same old way what I tell you every night. With all my heart, I say I love you dearly, for I am yours sincerely. With all my heart, with all my heart, without a why or wherefore, you're all I'll ever care for. With all my heart. And if I were lyrical, I would write a song telling of the miracle the day you came along. And every night I'll tell the stars above you to say again I love you with all my heart. if I were lyrical, I could write a song telling of the miracle the day you came along. And every night I'll tell the stars above you, say again, I love you with all my heart.
That's about all for tonight, ladies and gentlemen, but we're going to have seats reserved for you again in the Kraft Music Hall next week. Next week, we're going to have another fine show. Our guests will include Nina Kosets, famous star of the Imperial Russian Opera, and John Barrymore, brilliant representative of America's greatest acting family. We're going to have also numerous other guests, plus Jimmy Dorsey, Bob Burns, and Ed Hal. I'll tell you who Al is next week. Till then, just take it easy and good night.
Tune in next week when Bing Crosby presents Nina Kosets, John Barrymore, Jimmy Dorsey and his orchestra, Bob Burns, and many others. The Kraft Music Hall, announced by Don Wilson, has come to you from the new NBC studios in Hollywood. Included on tonight's program were Some of the Days from Honky Tonk, When I Grow Up from Curly Top, Thanks a Million from the picture of the same name, and With All My Heart from Her Master's Voice. This is the National Broadcasting Company.